You're a thief from God. You're damned. Oh, okay. Good. That's really what most pastors do. But I want to show you the same thing we saw in the book of Genesis. Because the heart of God is never to damn anybody. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God not sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The very heart of God, for God is love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The very nature of God is that you and I will become sons and daughters of God. For when we confess him as our Lord and Savior, we become sons and daughters. He gives us the right to be called sons and daughters, John chapter 1, verse 10. And then he says, what's awesome about this is now you are adopted into my family. Now you're part of my family. Now you are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus. What you have. Listen, God wants to bless us with all heavenly blessings. There's not one thing he wants to withhold from us, his babies, his children. But yet many times we stop the blessing either through the lack of understanding or the lack of obedience. So here we have that verse that everybody uses as a scare tactic, but I really want you to see the verses before that. Because the verses before that actually show the heart of God. Malachi 7:3, 7 and 8. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Let me say that one more time. For I am the Lord, I do not change. What he's doing is he's setting automatically the pattern that if I say something's mine, it's mine. If I say I've set it apart from me, I've set it apart from me. That means you don't touch it. That's maple walnut ice cream. Don't touch that. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet for the days of your fathers. You have gone away from my ordinances, which is tithing, and have not kept them. Here it is. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? And then it goes in, will a man rob God? See, understanding the entirety of this text is so powerful because it's showing the very nature that we see with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that God wants that restoration. God wants that relationship with us. And he's saying, listen, because you have not kept my ordinances, return to me and I'll return to you. Which means man stepped away from God, not God stepped away from man. The more you look at the problems that we as mankind have is that God has said, listen, this is the way, walk ye in it. Man has stepped away from God, not God stepped away from man. And in this ordinance where he says, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, the tithe is the Lord, holy to him. The whole tithe. Bring the whole tithe to the storehouse. He said, you haven't kept my ordinances. Return to me and I'll return to you. He's saying, listen, I want a relationship with you. I want to bless you. I want to pour out my spirit upon you. I want to open the windows of heaven that you can't even hold all the blessings I have for you. I want to bless you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But I can't do that because you've stepped away from my ordinances. It'd be like, how many of you work? How many of you own a business? Awesome. You're the only employee. Okay, I can't use you. Okay. How many have employees here? Let me ask you a question. So say you're the owner of a company. Ready? You're the owner of a company, and you have 10 employees. One employee says, on Thursday, he comes in, and he says, I'm ready for my paycheck. And you look at him and say, dude, like you haven't shown up for work this week. And he said, so? I want my paycheck. I'm your employee, right? You owe me money. Well, you didn't show up to work, therefore I'm not going to pay you. Oh, I don't care what you say. I'm your employee. I'm on your books. And whether or not I was here or not, I expect that you're going to take good care of me. I expect I'm going to have insurance. I expect I'm going to get a paycheck. I expect that you're going to give me my bonus. I expect it, even though I didn't show up to work. How many of you think that would be a long-lasting company? How many thinks that maybe the employee's a little lost? But we do it in the church all the time. We go to God and we say, God, you got to bless this man. I'm having real bad financial problems. God, I need you to step into my life and help me with my money. God, I need to pay my rent. God, I need to do this. God, I need to do that. And God says, but you didn't tithe. Well, I don't care if I didn't tithe. You got to take care of me. I'm on your books. God says, huh? I know you've heard me give the example before, but it's a phenomenal example. If my Aunt Queenie, now this woman could cook. She can cook. Aunt Queenie makes me a blueberry pie. No, just me. She makes me a blueberry pie. Now, she doesn't make it in one of those tins that you get at Tops. I'm talking, she has her glass bowl one, you know, the real nice, decorative, you know, pie dish. And she makes this, oh, Mom, I'm sorry, man. I love you, but Queenie makes the pie. So, that's right. My mother's never made me a pie that I know of. If you ever made me a pie, Ma, you made me a pie? What? You don't want to lie in church, Ma. You go to hell. So my aunt's making me a blueberry pie in her clear glass Pyrex dish. I mean, just beautiful. And so she brings it to me, and it's still warm, and she brings me a half a gallon of ice cream. Jesus. No maple walnut. She hands me the pie, and she says, I just need my dish back. And if you give me my dish back, I'll make you another pie. So I take the pie, I eat the pie, and she says, listen, just give me the pie dish back and I'll make you another one. No! I'm keeping the dish too. Whose turn is it to make the pie? What do you mean? Why is it my turn to make the pie? Because I kept the dish. I said, you owe me two pies now. She'd go back to my wife and get it. Here's the problem. If God has called us to tithe, he's given us a pie. He said, I just want a tenth. If we don't give the tenth, whose turn is it to make the pie? Now listen, man. I know people say to me, I don't need God. I can make my own money. I sat next to a man one day, the day that Corning crashed. And I watched him go like this. Doosh. And I said, what happened? He goes, I just lost $300,000. The twin towers were hit. Listen, man, it's not going to take a lot to crash. How many of you have had a company move out? Lose your job? It doesn't take much. The problem is that we've made man our source rather than God our source. And when we choose to touch the holy thing, we're actually telling God, listen, I got the next pie. Just sit back. I'm the God of my own money. I'm my own source. I don't know. I've just always found that to be dangerous. Because when we're our own source, how many of you can fix the wing of a fly? How many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You might assume what's going to, but how many of you know what's going to happen tomorrow? How many know what's going to happen tonight when you leave here? How many have control over where you're going to be next week? Isn't it amazing that we don't mind trusting God with our spirit to go to heaven, but we don't trust him enough with our finances that he can take care of us? What's more powerful? What's greater, your soul or your money? Well, that was a really weak answer. What's greater, your soul or money? Your soul. So if you can't trust God with your money, how will you actually ever trust God with your soul? It really comes down to a trust level in relationship. Because God really wants us to return to him. Now listen, I'm not saying it's always easy to tithe. Say amen or oh my. You know, there are times where it becomes very difficult to tithe. I gave the example a few weeks ago where I had the choice. I either tithed or fed my kids. And I had to make a choice. Is God really God? Is God's word really true? Is God able to take care of me or is he not? And I tithed. And as I told you, a man came with two bags of groceries. It was Joe. Came with two bags of groceries. And God spoke to him and God directed him. And he came and took care of us. God is able, but we don't trust him. And a lot of it is the lack of teaching. Now, there's not a lack of teaching in this church, but in most churches, there's a lack of teaching when it comes to finances. Well, you know, money, bum, 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 bum. That's all I know. That was enough? Just trying to be there for everybody. What's amazing is our entire life is wrapped around money. How many of you rode here today? How many of you have a car? Money. How many put gas in your car? How many of you found a way not to put gas in your car? Did you? Right. Oh, she's a smart woman. Right, only get, my wife says, I'm empty. I said, well, you should fill it. Go to Quick Fill. How many of you have a house or live in an apartment? Money. How many have a pillow? Money. How many don't use pillows? You don't use a pillow? Wow, you're messed up. His mother doesn't use a pillow either. How many of you, let's go. How many of you got clothes on? Jesus. How many have no, listen, we're not going there. How many of you brush your teeth? Money. How many of you use toothpaste when you brush your teeth? Bum, bum, bum. How many of you have a razor? How many of you need a razor? Listen, our entire life is wrapped around money. You know what's more powerful than the devil? Is money. I can prove it to you. The Bible says this. You cannot serve two masters, God or mammon. There's only two masters. Well, mammon is not Satan. The word mammon in the Greek actually means money. Because our entire life is wrapped around finances. That what ends up happening is it becomes our major drive in life. I know people who actually their entire identity is what they have as things. In fact, when you start looking in the book of Matthew says that one of the grounds where somebody gets saved, the word of God is planted, one of the things that destroys the seed, the salvation in their life, is the love of money. Now, money in and of itself isn't a sin because money is just a thing. But the love of money is the sin. And why God instituted tithing was he said, this is mine. Don't touch that. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is mine. Don't touch my tithe. Well, why is that? Well, because God is teaching us a principle that number one, we can trust him and have a relationship with him. But number two, that we never make money our God. Because money cometh. And money goeth. Oh, why would you ask the hard questions? Well, let me ask you a question. I'll answer a question by asking you a question. If God says don't have sex before marriage and you do, is that a sin? Okay. If God says don't steal, but you steal, is that a sin? If God says don't lie, and you lie, is it a sin? If God says, obey me, and you disobey him, is it a sin? If God says the tithe is wholly mine, only mine, don't touch it, is it a sin if you touch it? Huh. So I didn't really answer the question. You answered your own question. Now, the point comes down to even beyond that, is it really does come down to relationship. And this is really what I love to talk about when we talk about tithing. Because we can lay down the ordinance. But this is not, ordinance mean rules. But the point is that, man, I want to obey him because I love him, not because he makes me. You know, we're adults here, right? Everybody's an adult here. We have children here. We're adults here. How many of you want your children to obey you? So you tell them to clean their room, right? And they look at you and say, yeah, right. I want my allowance, by the way. Are you giving them their allowance? No. So you tell them to clean their room. They tell you no to your face. No. Your allowance is in my boot. Ooh, I feel the giving. Well, yeah, kids are grown. We're safe. Oh. But honestly, this is where it comes down to. Is it comes down to, number one, simply out of relationship. I tithe because God has asked me to tithe, to keep him as the pinnacle in my life, that he will be able to bless me in my life, that God will be the one who will be the source of my life, that I will serve God and not mammon in my life. Tithing is all about relationship. Return to me and I'll return to you, saith the Lord. The way that we return is, will a man rob God? No, I'm not going to rob you, God. So he returns because we return. We obey, he gives blessings. I think that's the best part about God. God wants to bless us so much, but we hold back God's blessings because we won't obey him. But yet, God has never told us to do anything that won't be a benefit to us, that won't be a blessing to us, that won't be something that when we get it, we're going to shout because it's so good. God has never ripped anybody off. He's the creator of all the universe. He wants you to be blessed. Listen, we talked about it on Sunday. When you're praying for money, when you need money, and God says, listen, no problem, I'll just send you down some pavement. Huh? The streets of gold. Oh, that's right. The streets of heaven are gold. So when you're needing money, all you're asking him for is a piece of pavement. That's no big deal to God. I can tell you miracle after miracle of finances in my own life, in this church's life, the seat you're sitting on's life. But it all comes down to you learning to trust God, that if God said it, I'll obey it. And God's job is to fulfill it. If I obey him into salvation, it's God's fulfillment to wash my sins away. If I obey him in the principles of healing and miracles, it's God's responsibility to give me what he's promised me. If I follow him in obedience to tithing, then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will bless me when I tithe. My grandmother was a great example of this. Graham's check was three-something, wasn't it? It was $500. My grandmother's check was $500. It wasn't $500 when she was giving here. I think it was three-something because I had asked. When we started this church, my grandmother, I don't know how old she was at that point, so that was 20 years ago, so she would have been 70-something. 80? 80 years old. She tithed to her home church, and she still gave to this church. But that woman never lacked anything. She had all the money she needed. Now, she wasn't riding a Rolls Royce or a Bentley or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. True prosperity and true obedience will always produce this product, that you will always have more than enough. More than enough is true prosperity. It means more than you actually need. The problem with Americans, we've not been taught well in stewardship. Thank you for the word. We've not been taught well. You know, when I was in high school, they taught me how to balance a checkbook. That's about all they did. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, your parents, sat down and taught you how to do a budget? Now, there will be some. One, two, three, four, five, six. So six out of this entire crowd were taught by their parents how to do a budget. Amazingly enough, when I do premarital counseling, we sit down and we want you to be able, you have to produce two budgets. Now, I don't see them. I don't want to see them. That's not my business. But I have you fulfill two budgets. One as a married couple working together, and one when she gets pregnant and can't go back to work. Well, why is that? Well, because you got to know whether you can live or not. And what Americans seem to do is we live according to our budget, or we live to according to the money that's coming in our pockets. Here's the problem. When you live to only that level, then you're living hand to fist. And if you miss a week's pay, many people, listen, don't answer this. I want you to ask yourself this. If you miss a week's pay, are you in trouble? Don't answer that. If you're missing a week's pay and you're in trouble, you're probably not living off a budget, and you're probably not a good steward. So I'm going to give you this real quick. Write this down. You want this. You want to live 70, 10, 10, 10. I don't see a lot of people writing this down, but old people. You want to, sorry, I was watching my father-in-law over there. You want to live 70, 10, 10, 10. Anybody that can live 70, 10, 10, 10 will be successful and will not be starving when you retire. What is 70, 10, 10, 10? You live off 70% of your income. You tithe 10% of your income. You put in savings 10% of your income. And you put in retirement 10% of your income. 70, 10, 10, 10. If you live that way, you'll always live with more than enough. The problem with Americans is we don't live that way. Now let me tell you, because I'm good at this. When I handled the money in my home, we never had extra. The bills were always paid, but we never had extra. And one day my wife said to me, "Why don't you let me take over the money?" I said, "Sure, I don't care. I mean, it's less work for me." She did the first month. She says, "Oh my goodness, look at all this money we got left over." And I said, "Where?" Because my philosophy was, at the end of every month, whatever was left over, we need to go to Dick's Sporting Goods and enjoy ourselves. Can I hear an amen? It was hunting season. I know it was hunting season. So she started putting us on the budget of 70, 10, 10, 10. All of a sudden, I said, "Hey, listen, I got to have an allowance, man. I got to have some money in my pocket." So she went through the budget and she said, "Well, you know what we can afford?" She said, "You know, what do you want to buy?" I said, "Well, I'd like to buy a Harley." And she said, "Well, how much is the Harley going to cost?" And I told her the cost. She goes, "Okay, you can buy the Harley. That will be your allowance." I said, "What? Is enough for a Harley Davidson?" She said, "Well, yeah. You've just been spending it at Dick's." And so we actually did a budget, and all of a sudden I realized we got money. Now, we got money set away. I don't even know what's there. She won't tell me. Because Dick's Sporting Goods is still open. If you can't live 70, 10, 10, 10, you need to live 80, 10, 10. 80, 10, 10 is you live off 80% of your income, you tithe 10% of your income, and you put 10% as an emergency fund. That way, if the car breaks, you have money to take care of the car. And what you're doing by always infiltrating tithe into your budget is now you're positioning God. See, this is what I love so powerfully about this principle. When you're a tither, you are positioning God to take care of you. My wife and I, as we were evangelists before we opened this church, we were in Skowhegan, Maine. Listen, don't try to figure it out. It's out there. We're in Skowhegan, Maine. We just got done preaching an entire week at my uncle's church. They gave us a check, and, you know, we were going to tithe off the check, and then we were going to seed off the check. And listen, it's a Sunday afternoon. We're leaving Skowhegan, Maine. Now, if you want to look that up on Google Maps, you'll see how small that place is. Leaving Skowhegan, Maine, I start seeing steam come from underneath our caravan. I said, "That's not good." I turned the caravan around and started going back through town, which is not big, and I saw this place that said Radiators. And on the way, my wife and I just prayed, you cannot have our money. God, you said you rebuke the devourer. You take care of us. That, Lord, we're going to tithe and we're going to seed, Lord, out of this money. And nothing is going to take it away. We made that declaration. On the way back, when I saw that radiator shop, I pulled into the radiator shop. Now, you need to know, it's Sunday afternoon, Skowhegan, Maine. Nothing's open. We parked there, and a man steps out of the radiator shop. I said, sir, I know it's Sunday. You're not open today. He goes, no, we've been closed for a decade. I just came down to pick up a part. He said, what's your problem? I said, well, I see smoke. And he goes, because that's all I can figure out, because I can put gas in the car, but that's about all she wrote. Not a mechanic. I'll break it. I promise. He says, well, let me take care of that for you. He walks into the shop, comes out, fixes my radiator. And I said, Matt, how much do I owe? He goes, oh, no, just have a great day. Came home with my tithe and my seed. See, because it's God's job to rebuke the devourer. I've watched God heal cars. I've watched God heal washing machines. I've watched God heal bodies so we didn't have to go to the doctor and spend the money on the deductible. I've watched God take care of us. Why? Because it's God's job to take care of me because I'm a tither. The Bible says he will rebuke the devourer. Now, you see, if I can trust God with my spirit so that I can go to heaven, I can trust God with the money, because if he's the Lord of the money, then I know that I have full access. And if I have full access, what does heaven have that I need? That means that God has given us the ability. Now, I've given this example before. It's so powerful. If I hand you, let's just say I hand you $100,000. Oh, Jesus. Can you say amen? $100 bills, give you $100,000 in cash. But I look at you and I say, listen, man, you see Walmart? You can go in there anytime you want, day or night, take anything you want out of there. You know, the superstore one. You know, so, you know, you have whatever. No, you don't need money. Who's richer? So bad. Who's richer, the man with $100,000 or the man who has full access? So if tithing keeps you from full access, isn't it wiser to be a tither, because your money's going to run out, but God's never does, because heaven has everything you need? See this twist, how the church world has taken offense and gets angry over finances, but when you start understanding it God's way, it makes all the sense in the world. Because what is money to God? Yeah, something he walks on. You know what's amazing? One time I was driving on the road again when I was an evangelist, and I looked down and I was running out of gas. And I didn't, it was just a tough week. I had a church steal from me down in South Carolina, and so I didn't have enough money. And I'm on my way home, and that caravan was just beautiful, by the way. It did great things. And on my way home, and I'm running out of gas, and I know I didn't have enough gas to get home. And so I said, hey, this is your job, God, to take care of me. I ran out of gas many hours before I got home, but I made it into the driveway. Why? Because I've watched God put gas in a car. What? Listen, how hard is putting gas in a car for God? How hard is it for God? There was a man named T.L. Osborne. God spoke to him and told him to go to Africa. Well, he had, I forget how many kids. It was a horde of them, just a horde of children. And God says, go to Africa. And he said, but God, I don't have any money. And so he said, I told you to go to Africa. Now, back in those days, they did ships. So he went to the ship. And a person walks up to him and says, Osborne? Yes. Here, hands him an envelope. It's all the money they need to have the tickets to get on the ship. So his family gets on the ship. They get to England. That's the first stop before they get to Africa. They went to England. And they got off the ship, and they needed money for laundry. Horde of children, you know there's laundry. And so they had, I think he said, a dollar some odd cents in his pocket. He said to his wife, go to the laundromat. God's going to take care of us. Went to the laundromat, and somebody walked up and paid for all the laundry to be done. They get back on the ship. They get off. They get ready. They're pulling into the port of Africa, and you have to pay a fee to get off the boat. By the way, he had no place to live when he got there. He was just obeying God to get to Africa. He's getting ready to get off the boat, but they don't have money, and they're in line. And somebody looks over at him and says, hey, you, I don't know why, but I got to give you this. Hands him an envelope, and it's full of money, and it paid for every one of them to get off the ship. Gets off the ship. Remember, they got no place to live. They have a lot of children. And a woman walks up and says, you're American, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, it's you. All right. Come on, God told me I got your house ready. This is all history. Took him to the house. He lived in the house. Lady gave him the house. They did their ministry work there. It's just that we live in the North. And churches are afraid to teach you this principle that is so powerful because to God, money's no big deal. But we're afraid to tell people because we're afraid to offend them. Listen, I'm afraid to offend you by not telling you. I'd rather have you mad at me and leave this church than for me to stand before God and say, listen, I didn't tell them because I was afraid to hurt their feelings. God's saying, so you chose not to tell them to obey me, not to tell them I want to bless them, you chose to tell them and keep them in poverty because I can't open the windows of heaven if they're touching the holy thing. You've chosen to steal from my kids because of your own pride. Well, I'm sorry. Listen, man, I love you all, but I'm not scared of you. Scared's not a word, but I like it. I'm not scared of you. I'm scaredy cat of God because I don't want to offend him. And I would rather tell you the truth, a truth that works. I'm talking it works. You'll not find a tither in this room that won't say it works. They have what they call a tithe challenge. And listen, I'm just not willing to do it. But they do it in churches. And it works. I'm just not willing to do it. The tithe challenge is tithe for 3 months. And if you find that you have less after you've tithed for 3 months, the church will reimburse you the entirety of what you tithed. I just won't do it because I don't need a gimmick. You're either going to obey God because you want to obey God and not a gimmick. Someone says, Pastor, I'll even back it up. I'll put $10,000 up. And if they want their money back, I'll give the first 10 grand to give them the money back. And I said, no. I said, because they're either going to obey God because they want to or choose to remain in their spot. And for me, it really, you know, people say, well, you know, the pastor, he knows what everybody gives. I don't know what anybody in this church gives. I'm sorry, that is a lie. I do know who gives. My staff has to tithe. If they're being paid by the kingdom of God and they don't tithe, I fire them. Why do they think they should have a benefit for something they don't believe in? So my staff, I do know if they tithe or not. But for the rest of the church, I don't know a blessed thing. What happens, and I'll just give you the clarity of what happens with the money. On a Sunday morning, when you bring your tithe to the Lord, you don't bring it to a church, you bring it to the Lord. When you bring your tithe to the Lord, you put it in envelopes. We do that for IRS laws. Now, whether you realize it or not, we are governed by the Internal Revenue Service. The tithe gets put in bags as the security guys take it away. And the reason we have security guys is because the number one place to rob in America right now is the church. You didn't know that, did you? Churches are getting robbed all over America. Guys are going in after the offering, sticking them up, and taking the money away. It would be a very bad church to do that with. So our guys take it out. They put it in a manila envelope, and they have to seal it and sign it. Then they put it in the safe. The next day, three unrelated people sit down according to IRS laws. They count all the funds. They give you record for all the funds for your tax write-off. And then the monies are then sent to the bank. And the only thing that we know at the end of the day is did we meet the budget or didn't meet the budget. I need to know whether I need to pray or not to pray. No, you need to know that. because we don't have a beer tent or bingo. It's all people who either obey God or don't obey God. They either believe in the vision or they don't believe in the vision. They're either still kicking the tires in the parking lot or they bought the car. And so, man, about two weeks ago, they said to me, Pastor, we're down $3,000 this week in tithes and offerings. I said, well, we'll pray. The next week, tithes were down another $2,000, but somebody came and gave a $10,000 check. Took care of it all. I don't care where he brings it from. It's not my business. God is faithful. And in your life, God will be faithful. If you'll tithe, you'll see God come through. This is the spot. I already said it once, but I'll say it one more time. This is the spot that God says, if you test me in this thing, I promise to take care of you. Listen, I challenge you to take God at his promise. I've never seen God to be a liar. You might have, but I haven't. Now, there is a philosophy, and I want to handle this real quick. There is a philosophy that says that there is no tithing in the New Testament. This is one of my favorite ones. I love the people who say, well, Pastor, we don't see tithing in the New Testament. Actually, they don't understand the scripture. But number two, I always look up and say, yes. And they say to me, what do you mean, yes? I said, because the New Testament means more than the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they sold all that they had and gave it to the church. I'm so excited for you. You're going to sell your car, your house. You're going to sell your firstborn. Glory to God. You're going to give all the money to the church. Well, no. I mean, I don't think tithing. Listen, you don't believe in tithing, then you got to believe in the New Testament tithing, which means you give everything. Sell your land, sell your house, sell your crossbow, sell it all. Sell your guns. Jesus. Sell your Harley. Now you're cussing. No cussing. But what's amazing. Oh, John G. Lake. Yeah, I always mess that guy up, don't I? What did I say? T.L. Osborne. I'm sorry, it was John G. Lake that went to Africa, not T.L. Osborne. I always mess his name up. So here we are. You and I need to get back in this spot where we learn how to obey God. And it's not a hard thing. No one's chasing you down. No one's called you up and said, hey, why aren't you tithing? Has anybody had that happen? No. Has anybody ever called you up and said, hey, you need to give more? No. Has anybody said, if you don't give, you can't come to this church? Although there was a really good rumor that said, if you do come to his tabernacle, they have a collection at the front door. You can't come in without giving $200. It went around the whole community. If you come to his tabernacle, you better come with $200. That's the fee to get in. I'm thinking, yes. I'm telling you, if you learn how to obey God with your tithe, your money can't be cursed. It has to be blessed. And listen, this is not talking that you're going to have a Bentley. This is talking that you're going to have more than enough. And this is the spot that God says, test me in this thing. I'll prove myself to you. Now, let me explain what a tithe means. If you make a dollar, it means you tithe. Getting on a roll now. Here we go. If you make a dollar, you tithe. If you make $10, you tithe. If you make $20, you tithe. If you make $100, you tithe. Are we getting this now? A tenth. Not, I'm going to pay all my bills and I'm going to give George. Here's my favorite story. A $100 bill, a $20 bill, and a dollar bill ended up at the incinerator. And as they're in the incinerator, the $100 bill speaks up and says, man, I've had the most awesome life. I've been to Dubai twice, man. I have been to Europe. I've been to Paris. I went to Disneyland 26 times. $20 bill says, man, I want you to know too, man, I eat good. I've been to Chick-fil-A. I've been to McDonald's. I was down at the restaurant. I mean, I paid for the steak. I took care of everything. The dollar bill said, I've been to the Pentecostal church, the Presbyterian church, the Catholic church. No, that was a funnier joke than the first time. Sadly enough, we've stepped into something, and I'll end with this. We've stepped into something called Christian welfare or church welfare. And it really is true. We've stepped into a mindset. Now, what is welfare? Welfare in and of itself was created for a good purpose. Welfare we actually saw in the scriptures. God said if there's a woman that is a widow that has no children, it's the church's job to take care of her. That's called welfare. Welfare is not a bad thing. And I said a few weeks ago to my pastor, when her husband left her, this is in the 60s, she had two children. She had never worked. When her husband left her for another woman, she went on welfare, she said, for a year. Welfare has its purposes. What the problem is when it becomes something that it's not been created to be, that is third, fourth, fifth generation welfare. But in the church, we've created a welfare system too, because we're not willing to teach the principles of tithing. Where literally every single week, it takes $23,000 to run this organization. $23,000. 114 people give to that amount. The majority of the other folks don't give anything. So the majority of the other folks are coming in. Now listen, the gospel's free, but I'm sorry, this costs money. Just like your house. What happens is the majority of people come here and don't even give a dollar. They don't even give George. We get, every once in a while I make this announcement. If you give an envelope, don't lick it. Because usually the people that lick their envelopes are those that put nothing in it and just give an empty envelope and they lick it. So now we lost 20 cents. Don't lick your envelope. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't it funny, though? Be blown away how many people come up and give empty envelopes because they don't want to look bad. Listen, it has nothing to do with me. You can't make me mad or angry about your giving. This is not about me liking you or disliking you. That's why I don't know who gives. I don't know because I don't want to know. It's not my business. It's between you and Jesus. But this is where you get to make an awesome decision, and that is I'm going to be a tither. Because number one, I'm going to make sure my relationship with God is unhindered. Number two, I'm going to make sure that I have somebody much bigger than me is going to take care of me. It's God's job. He is my source. Number three, I'm going to make sure the kingdom of God is growing and maturing and we can do more for Jesus. I'm going to make sure we can reach more people. I think it was Monday. We fed how many people? 111 people. We fed 150 people today, we fed them down in the parks. We clothe them, we feed them, we help them, we pray for them, and seven people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ on Monday while we're feeding people. If you saw the testimony online, this one man had been coming for 4 years, and he had never given his heart to Jesus. He liked a hot dog with mustard on it. And one woman brought him a hot dog with mustard on it, and that day he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He went from death to life. Man, I'll tell you something, that's worth every hot dog we buy. Can I hear an amen? Somebody giving their heart to Jesus. And you see, what I want to do is more. I want to do more. The uproar last week was $65,000. But there was over 1,000 young people in that place. One kid, I said it on Sunday, he was an atheist, came to the uproar as an atheist because his friend invited him. And he went to the front to go get prayed for, just simply because he was following his friend. The man of God, Chris Estrada, laid hands on him. The power of God hit him. He went out in the spirit. He couldn't be an atheist anymore. He got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in the very same meeting. One kid. Isn't it worth one child? Isn't it worth one person? Listen, you need to hear the heart of this house. We are amazing givers. We are one of the most giving churches you'll ever get near. I'm not even just saying that. I'm telling you that. That's a fact. We bless. We're an awesome church. But boy, can you imagine if everybody tithed in this church? There would never, ever, ever be a need we wouldn't be able to take care of in a drop of a hat. One person came to us a few weeks ago and their lights are being turned off. And that was the week we were down a few thousand bucks. And I simply said, you know, honestly, we can't do it this week. I hate telling people no. I love to be there for them. Because the gospel is not in word, but in deed. You can tell somebody you love them all they want, but if they need and you can't help them, dear Lord, they're not listening to you anyways. We got a great king and a great gospel, and God wants to take care of his people. But the only way the kingdom is taken care of is if the people step in obedience with the Lord. So I just challenge you that if you've never tithed before, that you'll make this Sunday the first week that you tithe. And I know some of you, it's going to be a big stretch. Some of you look at your budget and you honestly, you're going to really struggle with tithing. Well, give something. At least start with 5% or start with 3%. Make it a goal in the next 3 months to go to 5%. Make it a goal to go to 7%. Then make it a goal to get all the way full tithing by the end of this year. If you'll make a goal, God will make sure you meet your goal. He'll give you opportunity to make money and give you opportunity in your job and increase in your job to make sure that you're going to be able to step into relationship because he knows your heart. Do something. Listen, if you don't give, you don't have to leave. Amen. Some people say that, some people feel that after I get done teaching this class. We're not asking anybody to leave. That's your choice. But I just want you to know, I don't want to steal from you. If you learn how to bless God, he'll always take good care of you. You know, this church started with $300 a week. That's what we needed. And now we need $23,000 a week. But if I can believe God for $300, I can believe God for $23,000 because he's the God of multiplicity. So I don't even freak out in inflation. I don't freak out. Why? I've never freaked out over money. Why? Because we're tithers. I've never freaked out over God's house not having. We have paid every single bill. We've only been late on one bill. And that was because Pastor Dan lost it on his desk. In all of 20 years, we've never missed a bill. We have A1 credit with Dun & Bradstreet, A1 credit. Our church can go out tomorrow and do anything we want. Let me tell you something. I want to see more people saved. I want to see more lives changed. I want to see hope come to the hopeless. You know what I want to do this year? I haven't told the board yet, so I don't know if I should say it out loud. But we have a house. Some people don't know that. We have a home. We bought a house, and we're going to sell the house. It's down in Elmira. We're going to sell it. I think they're going to have it listed at like $39,000. And whatever money comes in, we're going to give it all away. We're not going to keep one dime of it for our church. I can't wait to give about $10,000 to Brother Ted Shuttlesworth because he's going to be doing tent revivals up and down the East Coast. Our church in Mexico, they don't have air conditioning. It's 107, 110 degrees with 100% humidity. City officials won't come to the church. Well, by the way, there's only one church in the entire city of 800,000 that has air conditioning. We'll be number two. Because when we sell that, we're going to send $15,000 American down there, and we're going to close the building. We're going to send some of you down there if you want to go, and you're going to go down, and you're going to tear down an old building, build a new building, so we can put air conditioning in there, and there'll be the second church in the entire city with air conditioning. Let me tell you, the city mayor has just asked the pastor of our church down in Mexico. He has given him an office in the city and said, you'll be the liaison between all the churches and the government. It's amazing. What God wants us to do is huge. And I just want to encourage you, step in, man. Enjoy yourself. Watch God bless you. You can't outgive him. I don't care how hard you try. Try me now in this, and I'll prove it to you, says God. You'll be blessed. So I'm going to end with there. We're not going to get into alms or seed unless you have another. Do you have another 2 hours? All right, here we go. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. Oh, you want a testimony. Here we go.
A couple of weeks ago, my husband and I went to Elmira to pay taxes on our two apartment houses. We were behind. And so I went in and told him the address, and he said, yes, he says, it'll be this amount, and then in September you'll owe this amount. And I said, well, we have enough to pay both. We want to pay both. He says, okay, great. So he gave us our receipt. We walked out, got in the car, and I said to my husband, I forgot to ask him about the other apartment house. So I went back in, gave him that address, and he said, Mrs. Ramsey, you don't owe any taxes. They're all paid. And I'm thinking, we didn't pay them. And he said, do you want a receipt? Yes, sir.
A month or two ago, my wife's always in a checkbook. Bank said we had $4,000 more than we had. So she checked it and double-checked it. $5,000. But that's from paying tithes.
I remember one time we were up in Newfield, and an evangelist stood up and said, I need 10 people to give $300. Well, $300 to us at that point was $3 million. I mean, there was just no stinking money. And my wife looked at me, she says, we're going to give. And I said, do we have the money? She says, well, float the check. Which is, listen, you don't do that. Don't do that. Don't listen to my wife. That's really not a thing. It's just God told her to do that. So we stood up and we said, we'll give the $300. We wrote the check. And then she went right back home to the checkbook. And guess what she found in the checkbook? $300. Time and time again. Time and time again. You can't outgive God. Amen. So I'm praying I'm dispelling some of the bad myths of giving in church, because it's not my principle. It's not this church's principle. It's God's principle to keep you blessed so that you'll always prosper and have more than enough. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. And Father, we just thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who were the first fruits. God, you gave your son that we might be saved. And Father, we thank you that tonight we can learn your principles so that we can return to you and you will return to us. Lord, we pray, Father, that if there are any here that are struggling, Lord, tithing, I pray that you'll encourage them and show them, God, prove to them. Lord, you said you'd prove to them. Prove to them as they give, even this Sunday, a tithe, that, Lord, you will bless them abundantly above all they could even ask and or imagine. Lord, so we thank you that your principles are yea and amen. You can't lie. You can't. If you could lie, God, then we won't serve you because you're not God. So, Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. And that, Lord, you promised to bless us. Lord, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, remember, we always teach you, never come without a gift to the king. And we love you. Have an awesome week. Don't forget, we're gonna finish this out next week.